Welcome to the Property Couch, where each week you get to listen to two of Australia's leading property experts as they share with you the insider's guide to property investing.
All right, folks, you're back on the Property Couch. We're making a little bit of history here. First time we're doing a second part per week on this one, but it's such good information we thought we would continue. Well, we believe it's good information. Hopefully the listeners agree.
Well, that's right. I mean, we want to sort of package this up. So if you want to spend 40 minutes with us, that's great. You're going to get all the content that you need all in one nice, you know, bite-sized piece or two bite-sized pieces. So
Ben, strategy and tactics.
Yep. So plan. So point three, plan. What I mean by strategy and tactics is when you're building a plan, you need to have the tactics around how you're going to manage your money, what situation is going to occur. And from a strategy point of view, what we're talking about is what is the investment strategy we're going to use? Now, from a property point of view, there's multiple investment strategies available to you. There's strategies around the selection criteria for the investment returns. There's strategy around the style of property, the area that we're going to choose. There's strategy and tactics around the lending structure in terms of offsets and or lines of credit and releasing equity and uncross securitization and all those types of things. So that's where, for me, it's about where all of the moving parts start coming together. So when I've sat down with a client and we've clarified and evaluated and we're aligning those goals, those desires, and we're seeing the potential, and then we're bringing all of that together. And in some cases, it's easy to get the plan out, but in other cases, it's like families and couples often don't think past 5 years. Mm. So when you're asking them to think about the end goal in mind and reverse engineering that plan back, you come up with some thought processes that they need to go away and have a good glass of red to think about and then come back to you. So it's not something that takes a little bit of time. In fact, you know, our property investment portfolio plans and our strategy plans and all of that, some of those can take 2 months, a month or 2 months to get done, which is 20 or 30 hours of work. But I tell you what, it's the best work that households done because what is it? It's a roadmap and it's a written, documented guide that's going to hold them accountable and it's going to make sure we're looking after them to get them on that journey.
Turns a dream into a goal. Now, I'm always looking for opportunities to throw Fremantle Dockers into the podcast.
Well, only because they're up and about.
Only because they're up and about. And bloody Collingwood's always in the press. But, you know, in terms of the strategy that Ross Lyon puts in place and the tactics, it's interesting to understand his strategy is a high accountability strategy and it's to, you know, I guess block the opposition from scoring. But the tactics that they employ, you know, he recently went on went in the media to talk about the fact that they practiced at training over the pre-season, sort of putting 90 seconds on the clock and simulating how they would, respond to pressure at the end of a match. So that was one of the tactics that they employed. So that's kind of the football analogy of what we're talking about here. The strategy is the overarching context of what we're trying to do, and then the tactics can be the individual process that we put, and I guess the expertise and sometimes the intuition of the person involved based on experience, based on training, based on education to implement that plan.
Correct. And in some cases, it's just validation. Like, you know, how do I describe this? Firstly, most people who come in here and get a plan done are a little surprised with its potential because they don't really understand the power of compounding returns and leverage and sophisticated money management. So there's a real pleasant surprise that they're actually, you know, going to reach their targets or thereabouts. Other times it's an honest conversation around we're spending too much and we're living for the now. And so what are you going to compromise to actually allow us to get the outcome that you're looking to get? So I often say as an advisor in this chair where we're playing with people's lives is I'm a marriage counsellor, on birth control because
you want four kids? No way, you can only afford two.
Based on our analysis, yeah, you can have the two children and they can go to private school. If you want to have the three kids, they're all going to public school. But that's the decisions households need to make. And it's nice, you know, it's refreshing for some households to know that they can make those decisions with some confidence as opposed to guesswork. And I don't know how many people that I've met and you've met when we do our presentations at, you know, public events or whatever, and people come up to us, I had a property but I sold it because, you know, we didn't realise how much it was going to cost us and they just didn't plan. Mm. And so they've lost money in the ins and outs, the stamp duty and then the exit costs. And so this is about, when I was saying before, when you're building a house and you can make some mistakes, this is about eliminating and reducing those types of mistakes that people can make. And, you know, as the famous saying goes, plan to become what you plan to become. Mm. That's what we're about.
Or if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Correct.
See, I think sometimes the challenge is, you know, if you think about median price in Melbourne, 650, median price in Sydney, 918, but you kind of reverse it 10 years ago, and that's median price, about 325, and then 10 years before that, the median price, 180. People can see that comfortably sort of halving going backwards, but they find it difficult to see it doubling going forwards.
Oh, when you see numbers in the millions and
they're
so
ridiculous
forth,
numbers at times. And
future
can be,
value numbers, people, they can't relate to them. They can't identify with them. So
listeners, the biggest challenge with planning is this. It's being able to plan for future dollars in present value. So how do I get some context around the fact that a cup of coffee today is cheaper than a cup of coffee tomorrow? So when we're building these plans, we need to be able to factor in that the time value of money will be different moving forward. And that's probably the challenge. We've got some in our formulas that allow us to do that.
Yeah, we do. They're very sophisticated formulas.
But it's not easy to do.
No, and so I want to put that into a property context for those of you who want to be DIYs. If you're thinking about building a portfolio of property out and you've done your cash flow modelling and using some sophistication in your modelling, understand that the $350,000 property today in 2018 is probably going to be a $460,000 or $450,000 property by then. Now, when you're doing that, you've obviously then got to understand that your debt level is going to be at a higher level and you've got to service the debt at that level. You've also got to be careful around the variables you use around interest rates. So we use 7.25 long-term interest rates. We use 90% occupancies, which means that the property is going to be vacant for 5 weeks a year. We use 1.5% of the holding costs for maintenance and upkeep because you've got to keep the property in a good lettable order. So it's those types of things that are the moving parts that sometimes people go and the listener might be saying, rightio, there's too much in this. I need to get some advice, which is obviously what, you know, why we're in business and so forth. But, you know, for them, it's understanding all the moving parts. And if they can understand them and they can assess them, move forward with confidence.
Ben, you're the Property Investment Advisor of the Year. How do you cope with people who panic when they look down the barrel of someone's going to go on maternity leave and the income is going to disappear for 6 months, 12 months, maybe 18 months? How do you reassure them that they can, you know, using step three, plan through that?
Well, the honest truth is the majority of those people panic and sell the property and then come and see us 8 years later and say, oh, we did have an investment property once, but we sold it because we were starting a family. And I just shake my head and go, you know, missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Nice of them to think that they need help the second time around, but that's probably the biggest message. If you are listening and you're thinking that, you know, can I keep my home? Can I afford it? That's when you should go and get it, because the numbers are hard to crunch.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go back to my journey. You know, this is probably when we were looking to buy our third property, and we were, you know, Jane and I sat down, my wife and I sat down and thought, well, can we buy another investment property, or are we ready to put the big rock in the jar, which is a family home? And we couldn't crunch the numbers. So this is pre-2007. You know, I think it's probably 2005, just after we got married, and we're trying to work out what our goals are. And that's when even I, you know, sitting there advising clients and being frustrated about the fact that there wasn't a tool that could do multiple properties in one platform, that I said, bugger this, we've got to build it. So I did. And now, obviously, there's a lot of clarity around that. So, you know, we're not worried or sitting in bed at night, because we know that, you know, and we see people making losses in property and making mistakes. So that probably allowed us to be more transparent and clearer message, and off we go. So that's probably the biggest one.
There's two key metrics that Ben uses to help him better plan is understanding the surplus in household cash flow.
Uh-huh.
And the second one is a measure of household liquidity. Can you sort of expand on that a bit, Ben?
Yep. So as in any business, because at the end of the day, we're in the business of property investment. Any business needs to have an understanding of their debtors and creditors and the money coming into the business and the money leaving the business. In a household, that constitutes expenditure, spending, discretionary spending, living lifestyle, and from the revenue side, that constitutes going out and working, you know, spending a third of your life basically on the tools, generating income. So when we look at liquidity, we're basically measuring that cash flow on a monthly basis. When we're looking at, surplus and general liquidity, so we've got cash flow and liquidity, what we're saying there is what reserves have we got? What buffer have we got inside the business? So a good example should be that any household who's investing in property should try and keep at least $50,000 in available equity or liquidity set to the side. Now, what that does is if an event occurs where we've got a sudden illness, and when we go down to one income, and this has come back to defence, I know we're cross-pollinating here, but defence is all about having income protection and minimising that risk. But let's assume that something was wrong and we saw a reduction in that income for a period of time. We need to trade through that. So what having a reserve does is it buys you time to reassess, time to not panic. If people feel as if they've only got 1 or 2 weeks of cash flow left, they make irrational decisions, they panic, there's anxiety, it puts pressure on the household, the relationship, all of the above. So by planning that out and making sure that you've got that 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 3 years of reserves should give some confidence for people to move forward.
Yeah, but folks, it gives you time to not panic. I think that's the key thing. I've seen Ben build portfolios live in front of audiences now for the better part of the last 18 months, and I always find the most interesting part of watching the look on the audience face when he kind of goes into those household cash flows and shows what it means if he was to buy maybe an $800,000 investment property, as well as maybe putting both kids through private school rather than public school, and actually seeing the household cash flow break. And then, so the interesting part is to go through and fine tune that and maybe reduce the purchase price and the parameters and maybe, you know, just do the what-if analysis on seeing the children go through maybe public school and see that it doesn't break and it comes back into a positive situation, and also watching that the household remains liquid. So really good gold there from the Property Investment Advisor of the Year. And obviously I'm biased, but I see that all the time. That's some of the stuff that the clients get the benefit of Ben's experience. Number four, step four is what I think most people have as step one.
No doubt.
The doing. Step four is implement.
Yeah, so the classic case of they search rather than research. You know, they go straight to, what can I buy with my four? I've seen my mortgage broker. I've got $400,000 to spend. I just want to get a return. And bang, they're caught by the marketeer or the investment advisor who goes straight to the sell. And what's happened there is they're basically, yep, that's what I can afford. Bang, all right, well, this one's a great investment. I want your money.
The best property investors do this as step number four, not a step number one. Now, I guess, in terms of what Ben said there, searching is not researching, that's really classic. But I find that, again, I talked about the microscope before, this is where someone plants a seed, whether it's a book they read, a seminar they attended, a friend talking to them at barbecue, or someone approaching them that says investment property is a good thing. They might use fear, ignorance, or greed to get them to do some action. And then they just go into the marketplace and buy. And I think this is probably the easiest bit to understand because it's getting on the portals, looking at brochures.
Oh, yeah. Finding any mug property is easy. Absolutely right, Bryce, in terms of... So the science here is the connection between what we decided to do and how we implement that. And this is where Bryce and his team in our business at Empower Wealth comes into their own, because you've got a clear objective. You're going to be measurable against those performance criteria that's been documented, again, as opposed to, I think this is a good investment, I think you should have a go, and then, you know, no accountability, and then you go back and that person's left that business and, you know, they're all on the run, moving somewhere else, you know, trying to spruik some other opportunity. So you're absolutely right. This is where, for me, implementation is where the rubber hits the road. We've got our direction, we've got our roadmap, and now we're going to follow that roadmap. And because we've planned it, my God, are we going to be efficient in terms of getting to that end destination as best we can?
We put some real heavy science around the implementation, because I might get three sort of overarching briefs that come to me. One that's a high growth asset, one that's a balanced asset, or one that's really an income play. And that could be, you know, something that's had, for example, 7.5% historical compound growth with 4% yield. That would be my, you know, growth asset. Or it could be, I need something that's got 6% growth, but also 6% yield, because we need the yield to do the heavy lifting to retire some of the debt. So finding is, you know, essentially on market, off market, and advanced listings in terms of getting the assets. But being able to deliver on the outcome of what someone needs really depends on the quality of the planning. And as I said at the top of the planning section, quite often most people's planning is simply, do you have equity? Yep, you need to buy another property, and that's it. And that just leaves the brief way too wide versus something that's a bit more specific. So let's do that again. Number one, clarify. Number two is evaluate. Step three is to plan. Step four is the implementation. And step five is effectively, I think, the most forgotten of the steps if you do implement all five, and that's the manage. Mm. That's the checking in. And I've got this analogy. I often talk about it when I'm speaking in public, where I had a client many years ago come to me. It was 2011, and said, look, I am an air hostess for Qantas. I'm on six-figure income. I've travelled from Sydney to Hong Kong, Hong Kong to London. That's my route.
It was a while ago because you called her an air hostess.
Yeah, flight attendant. That's just showing that I was born in the 70s. Yeah. I was a flight attendant, a female flight attendant, and she said, that's my life. Every second weekend I spend it in London, and then every other second weekend I'm here in Australia. And I planned to buy an investment property each and every year. First one was in 2003. I met her in 2011. So effectively that's 8 years on. And if she was planning to buy an investment property each and every year, you'd think she'd have somewhere between five or eight, mm-hmm. you know, given human nature. And I said to her, so how many do you have? And she says, I've still got the first one I bought and I don't have any others. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, why? She said, I just haven't got around to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the classic case of life just gets in the way if you don't actually make it a step and manage and review it each year.
And coming back to the plan, you know, you can Google Harvard University around written planning and what that means. Once actually things hit paper and they become in writing, they're actually, you're more accountable to that as opposed to a little quick little idea or thought. So it sort of works, idea or thought, need to get around to it. Second part is I'll verbalize it. And that sort of increases your ability to actually execute or take action. But when you've actually got a written plan in front of you, and I know some mates who do triathlons and so forth, and you can go to their house and on their fridge, they've got their schedule. Mm. And they, you know, they tick it off. And obviously, see people who are on diet, you know, they tick off in terms of how they're eating. That's the easiest way. Rather than just sort of, you know, thinking about it, then verbalizing it, in terms of having something in writing, that's, again, when the rubber hits the road. So we're talking about monitoring. And when it comes to managing, when you've got a plan and you've implemented, the big thing for us is still obviously watching cash flows. That's a nice part. But this is what I love about property, Bryce. I love the idea that it is not something that I can get the paper out every weekend and go to BHP and work out what it's gone up today, what it's gone down, and start, you know, sort of playing with my mindset around my investment psychology. I don't like that. Great property investments take around 10 hours a year mm. for you to peek over the fence, ask your property manager, how's it going? When's our next review? Tenants happy? Loving the fact that the money's still hitting the bank account. And I'm just going to get on with it. So I would suggest an annual review of your property.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a great property manager is a good part of that. And then your responsibility is to keep the cash flows right, keep the spending in check, and you know, keep moving forward so we can execute on the second or third property.
There you go, folks. Managing your portfolio should take you 10 hours a year. So it's not totally set and forget. You need to put some time into it, but it's really just making sure that it's ticking along as it should be. And you're measuring and monitoring what the results should be. So there you have it, Ben. We are in two parts. We've got through the five essential steps to building, you know, a wealthier outcome or a wealthier tomorrow, as we always say. Step one, clarify.
Yep.
Step two, evaluate. Step three, plan. Step four, implement. And step five is manage. We think you need to do each and every one of those in turn and in order.
Yeah, and I think just thinking aloud here, we didn't spend a lot of time in talking about some of the investment strategies, and this is a property investment podcast. So I think into the future, keep an eye out for where we go through the area and location strategies and property strategies, and we unpack what are our golden strategies for investing in property. Because once you understand the location strategies and the area strategies as well, you're going to have some really great knowledge there.
There you go, folks. Hopefully that's been helpful to you on understanding what those five steps are, whether you're a first-time investor, whether you're an experienced investor. If you sort of couple that with the podcast that we've done on the four pillars of mastery, asset selection, borrowing power, cash flow management, defense, I think that's episode 2 to 5 of the podcast. Go and check that out as well. And I guess the one thing I wanted to suggest to you too is Ben and I have done a webinar, which we think kind of, if I sort of look back at the podcast that we've done to date, Ben, it kind of really brings and marries together all the concepts that we've chatted about.
And it actually is, you'll get a look at the simulator software.
Yeah, so very good point. So why don't we put that on the website, thepropertycouch.com.au. You can go to that webinar, check it out. It goes for about, you know, if we say it goes for 50 minutes, it probably goes for about 67, so it's somewhere around an hour.
Yeah.
But there's a bonus at the end of that, which is the simulation software that Ben personally built over a number of years.
No, credit to the team. It's a team effort here. We collaborate, and it's all inputs, and it's constantly evolving as a great tool. So from that point of view, you know, Michael Pope, another key part of that, building that out, and obviously Bryce, you've had inputs into that as well, and the rest of our great team here. So it's you know, it's just about giving great advice, and that's what we're about.
There you have it, folks. He's humble as well, so he's got everything going for him. But so if you can go to thepropertycouch.com.au, we'll put the link up for that webinar, and you can check that out as well. So again, you can find out first about any of our podcasts that we've uploaded by going to our social media pages, more specifically Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So, all right, Ben, I think we've covered a bit. I think for the first 16 weeks, I think we've covered a fair bit of the insider's guide to property investing. So probably in the upcoming episodes, we might sort of lift the bonnet on a couple of specific items.
Yeah, I think get into some strategy, get into some nitty-gritty and step up the level of knowledge.
See if we can get to a bit more detail. So there you have it, folks. Hope you have a great week. Until next week, I think we might have a new sign-off
for
us.
Oh, for now, sayonara.
Sayonara. All right, folks.
Later.
See you next week. Bye now.